Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Reveille, reveille, reveille! Kids get to play in their dad's office, yeah. First of all. And my office has lots of really expensive, like, media equipment and shit like that in it. But I still let them come in here and play. I came in here this morning, fucking 3 bags of the little individual bags of Goldfish, nope. Still on my couch.
Nope.
2 Capri Suns, ice cream, like, from the pool house, went down to the ice, got a nutty, left that on the counter. And then, to top it all off, and I don't even know how they pulled this off, fucking Cheerios at my desk.
Wow.
Like this bowl with milk and like 4 Cheerios left. Like, when did you get, how did you get down here? There's like 3 flights of steps. So you poured it and you walked it down. That's an insane person move. Cheerios in your dad's office on my computer desk. Ridiculous.
This is very unsat.
Yeah, that's it. Let's do that
as a counseling session.
We'll have a little cold open there for CBT. But today we'll have 6 rounds of the magazine too. We have a busy day here on the show. Round number 1, a wannabe ninja with a sword attacked an Army Special Ops unit in California in the middle of the night. Hopefully he didn't know any McMap though and do a little, what's that game? Ninja Fruit? What was that game called?
It's
Ninja
Fruit. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been fun. Like all those Guinness Book of World Records where they're getting watermelons and plums and chopping them all up. That would be so much fun.
I but agree.
Also wasteful. We've found that. Unless you're making sangria. That's what they need. Do one of those things and then have a big sangria party because sangria is delicious. Round number 2, inside the office of a 1-star general that her soldiers rated her as maybe the worst remarks I've ever seen of any leader that's a general. Like
95%.
100%. Yeah, 100% said it was a toxic, hostile environment. And it's not like if I heard that, I would think this is an infantry battalion or this is an infantry regiment. It's fucking PAO. Like, why?
Oh, wow.
why are we being so hard about public affairs? Calm it down some. We need to have a kinder, gentler PAO. My goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious alive. Round number 3. Are you over 50 and get a majority of your news from Facebook? Stop that and listen up because Zuckerberg, the house that he built is in complete disarray. It's been down for 12 hours too. Yep. Facebook is down for 12 hours following a huge report from CBS and several other different news organizations. And they say that they're trying to fix the old algorithm. Algorithms really are fascinating because Kate and I know that they work. How do we know that they work? Because ours are almost exactly the same on TikTok.
Yeah.
Almost exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Our stupid minds must be, yeah.
I'll share a video with Kate and she'll be like, oh, that one was on my feed like 2 minutes ago. I'm like,
yeah.
I guess
synced up.
Donkeys jumping over a row of turtles is commonplace, I guess. Mm-hmm. The things on TikTok are out of control too. Round number 4, Fat Leonard is going to be giving us a skinny in an upcoming tell-all podcast, Sex, Drive, Bribery, and Drugs. They're going to spill those beans over there. And also, there's another one coming down the pike. Do you guys know that?
No. What is it?
There's another Fat Leonard scandal that's going on. I didn't have it because Craig Whitlock, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, he actually wrote the article in the Washington Post, but I will never pay for a paywall ever.
No.
I just love the news. Grateful for it.
I will say that is kind of a bummer when you click on a link and it says for subscribers only. I'm like, oh, I kind of wanted to read that one.
Dude, I'll never read anything that The Athletic ever writes because of that. I don't read like it unless it's a main story on the New York Times and it's free for everybody. One, I did pay for the New York Times like 2 years ago. I think I paid for a digital subscription. And then you got to put your email in and password in every time you go from a link from Twitter to on your phone. I'm not doing all that. That was a waste of money. I'm not doing that. I'll just wait till Business Weekly or Business Today or whatever picks it up and aggregates it and sends it out. Or somebody at Barstool does the same exact thing. Round number five. We're going broke again. Could minting a $1 trillion coin save us? I would think so. I mean, if we're going to do one, just print like 28 of them. Yeah. And then we'll be in the green for the first time since the Clinton administration. That'd be pretty sweet. And finally, round number six, nerd alert. Those nerds and the British sailors, they are canking, getting rid of all smoking lamps. You're not allowed to smoke. No tobacco use of any kind. Not just smoking, smokeless tobacco too. Chew, dip. I honestly think that this is so fucked up because there's not, if you're deployed or in the field, if you want to say that you can't do it in garrison, I think that's one thing. Like you don't do it because you're a professional and shit like that. And I do understand that. Like if you're in military uniform, having a big ass dip or chaw in your mouth looks unprofessional as fuck. Like when you're just walking around, but if you're in the field, who cares?
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. It's pretty much the only, especially on deployment. It was like the biggest morale thing was sitting on there with sandbags and I ripping heaters.
And so. Also, like, why are you telling us little things about our bodies? Like, yeah, it's unhealthy, but so are you going to ban Monsters and Rippets and Red Bulls and all that stuff?
It's a slippery slope.
I don't want the military in my business. Next thing you know, they're going to tell me I can't shave my dick with a lawnmower 4.0.
Can't have that.
I love shaving that thing with the 4.0. It's incredible. Manscaped 4.0, it's out. So if you want to shave your dick pubes like a pumpkin, you can do it because it's Halloween season. You can have a jack-o'-lantern before you jack off. It'll make your little bite-sized candy bar look like a big old king-sized ding-a-ling if you want to get that thing going. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and turn into a Freddy Krueger film? My friends, that's happened to the best of us because that skin is thin, thin, thin like a wafer. You don't want that bitch to be cut open. It'll remind you of Chuck Liddell whenever he got split open in the eye by old Randy the Natural Couture. You don't want that, but you do want the 4.0 because it's got LED lights. It's got all kinds of stuff. It's even got a waterproof trimmer so you can do it while you're in the shower. It's got, you can shave in the dark because you have a light. You'll never be in the dark again. That's the performance 4.0 package. Also includes the weed whacker, which is a total game changer to your men's hygiene arsenal. You can even put it on your lady bits too if you're a lady, because if it won't shave your, if it won't cut your testicle skin, I've heard, I don't know this for sure, but I've heard that the labia is as thick as a catcher's mitt.
I'll tell you what, this thing corners flaps like it's on rails.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. A high performer, like a Lamborghini around the old labias.
Absolutely.
It'll get you cleaned up. Even if you're one of those ladies out there, no disrespect, we don't shame. If you got butt hairs that are as thick as carrots, it'll cut through those things too. Totally fine. Nothing to worry about.
What are we
doing? We're going to manscaped.com with the promo code ZeroCons. That's exactly what we're doing. We're going to get 20% off because we did that. Let's move on to the actual show today. But before we do that, I need to tell you guys something. I am in a world of hurt right now.
World of hurt.
I'm in legitimate pain. Cardi goes to school at 7. Already had my back walked on like 3 times. I had my wife was done with an interview. I was like, as soon as you're done with your meeting, text me. I'm going to come up. I need you to walk on my back. I'm walking on the back. Do you know why? Because yesterday I put up a tree swing. And this tree swing, it was a birthday gift. And the tree that I picked out, it's this big, beautiful oak tree. And it has the split, like the V split in it. It's like a perfect spot for a swing. It's legitimately made for it. It's on the hill, so you automatically get the natural hill swing going too.
Nice.
Well, the little limb is 25 feet in the air. I don't have a ladder that'll go that high. Not very many people who don't work in construction do. And so I was trying to figure out a way to do this, because even if I had a ladder, it's on a pretty steep incline. So I couldn't even put it on there safely. So I thought, how can I do this? I went and got a regular rope from my garage and tied a 5-pound weight to it so that I would have enough weight. So if it got over, it would also fall back down so I could grab the other side of it in order to do it using my brain. Smarter, not harder.
Smart.
I drastically underestimated the effort that it takes to throw a 5-pound weight into like an 18-inch target and have it hit perfectly and to the spot where it doesn't get stuck on branches or anything like that. It took me so many throws of like hitting it over and like bouncing it off the tree and then going back and forth and trying to reach it up. I'm so sore just from throwing that 5 pound weight. I feel like when I was done, I was sweaty as hell. And my wife was like, what did you do? I was like, I threw a rope over a tree and I looked like I just ran a marathon.
That should have been an episode of Long Time Toolies, just like a 5 minute time lapse of you trying to get that thing over the tree.
And I was going to do that, but I thought it's a 2 minute thing. It's going to take me no time to do this. And it's just me throwing a rope over a tree. Who's going to watch that? Now I really regret not filming it because I look like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point too, though, because you think about it, the things we normally throw, football, baseball, they don't weigh anywhere near 5 pounds.
And it's dense.
Yes. Right. So when you think about 5 pounds, that's a lot of weight to just throw, because also your muscles that you use to throw something are not used to throwing 5 pounds. So no. I imagine you are in, as you said, that world of hurt.
And it's weird because it's not even like I would have understood it more if it was my shoulder. But yeah. You know that little spot, and I think it's the worst spot to be sore on your whole body. That little loop right below your shoulder blade on the bottom side.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Heart gets hurt, sore. No massage helps, not cracking your back, none of that stuff. You just have to let it go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. Having a hurt back's the worst.
And you're right. I make Alex do the same thing, and I have her like dig her heel right into that area. Usually that helps, but then sometimes she says to me, I don't like walking on your back. I feel like I'm going to hurt you. I said, I promise you, you will not hurt me. You
don't right. I make
sometimes nearly enough.
Kelsey is really good at it and knows exactly where to step. Mm-hmm. Annalise is too light. So yeah. I'll be like, you need to hold McCartney while you're doing this. I need somebody else on there to make it a little bit better. Brutal.
I feel like there's only one thing more brutal than that.
Getting stabbed with a samurai sword.
Absolutely. Yes. I feel like that is pretty bad.
What happened, Kate?
Yes. Round number one. This comes to us from NPR. A man wearing full ninja garb.
Quickly. Favorite Ninja Turtle. Go.
Donatello.
Oh, me? Michelangelo. Easy.
Raphael.
Donatello as well. Continue.
Big Donatello. A man wearing a full ninja garb attacked members of a U.S. Army Special Operations Unit in the middle of the night in the California desert, setting off a scramble for safety and resulting in at least 2 injuries, according to police. The incident occurred a little after 1 a.m. when authorities in Ridgecrest, California, got word of a sword-wielding man dressed as a ninja on the loose at Inyokern Airport in Kern County, north of Los Angeles. Kern County Sheriff's deputies found the suspect had assaulted a victim at the scene with a sword, then thrown a rock through a hangar window, hitting an additional victim in the head. Jeez, chaps, you couldn't get a barbell over a tree limb. This guy hit a special forces soldier in the head with a rock through a window.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
You should have had him over to get the...
Even special forces doesn't duck around windows.
Yeah, it's true. The victims are members of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, aka SOAR, where they were at the airport doing training exercises. The incident report quickly drew attention after it was posted on Instagram, and it describes how a staff sergeant was smoking a late night cigarette near an airport hangar. Nothing better. Mm-hmm. Nice late night cigarette. Just when an unknown person wearing full ninja garb approached him with a question. Do you know who I am? The man asked.
See, if that happens to you and you're on duty, I gotta say deadly force is authorized. Like I think that you're wearing a ninja costume, you have a sword, and you say, do you know who I am? No, but you're not who you are anymore.
No.
Yeah, but I don't want to find
out. Hostile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sergeant said he did not. He said, do you know where my family is? The man asked. When the sergeant said no. The person in ninja garb began to slash at him with a katana sword, the report states, adding that the sergeant's leg and phone were struck. He was like, hold on, wait, let me just get a quick picture of you from my Instagram before you, whatever. The sergeant ran, jumped a fence, and reached a building where he joined others from his company. As he and a captain locked the doors and called 911, the assailant kicked and punched doors and windows, which was... they kept the service members' names out of it and everything, but more than 20 minutes after initial contact, the blotter says, a 911 call came in from someone at the airport saying 26 special operations military members were hunkered down in a hangar wondering where help is. It took the police that long to like, what the hell? Police officers located the ninja nearby on a nearby road, but the man refused to follow commands and brandished the sword at deputies. Projectile rounds were used, but were ineffective, it added. Man, what was this guy on? That he just
had to be like PCP.
Yeah,
right?
This had to be something, because I knew somebody once who got tased and it did, instead they turned into the Hulk. It did like nothing to them. And then they got pepper spray. It took like a bunch.
Like if you've never been shot by one of those, if it was beanbag rounds that were coming at him from like a shotgun, and he continued to go on, had to be PCP, because that shit crumpled me.
Yeah.
Like we had to do it for less lethal training and I got hit right in the ribs. I thought I was never going to breathe again. I was like, it's so pain. The bruise that I had, the only bruise that was worse was that when I went and wrestled bulls with Pat.
Yeah. It's crazy. By the way, he was pepper sprayed and then they had to tase him, my buddy. But anyway, let's see. Oh, so projectile rounds didn't work. And then they used a taser on him. So he dropped the sword and deputies were able to take him into custody. He was identified as Gino Rivera, age 35. Rivera was arrested for attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, brandishing a weapon with the intent to blah, 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 blah. Bunch of not good stuff. Both the sergeant and the captain required stitches for their wounds, but were cleared to return to duty. Can you imagine getting attacked by a ninja in the desert in the dark in the middle of the night? Having to go get stitches for it because you were sliced with a fucking katana sword. And they're like, all right, we'll see you back at 0500 for PT. But you had to report back to fucking duty.
Well, I think that you almost have to do this if you're a special forces person. True. Because like if you're in there and you're special forces and there's 26 of you, like 26 special forces soldiers should be able to take out a large compound anywhere in the world. So if you have one person that has everybody holed up because they have a katana, you're probably embarrassed and you're like, we need to go train. Like we just got put in here, but you don't have weapons. You don't have any of that stuff. Say.
I mean, they can't use deadly force typically when they're taking down compounds.
Oh, then you could. Like if that defensive others with a deadly weapon, you damn right you could. If an MP was there totally and they saw somebody swing that in defense of others, that is definitely on the continuum of force for deadly force.
I promise you, all these guys wanted to, and all these guys could have taken this guy down in 2 seconds, but there was one.
We need to see a picture. Kate, did you have a picture? Is there a picture of the guy?
No, Gino? I don't have a picture.
And
of
that's
the guy.
Not the name. If you would have said, chaps, list off 1,500 names that it could be with somebody that has a katana, Gino would not be in my top 1,500. Just no shot. That's not a name of somebody who has a katana.
Yeah. Donatello, maybe. Not Gino.
Gino looks like he hit you with a spatula while he's getting the pizza out of a wood fire oven.
But I just picture 25 special forces guys being like, here's the plan. Here's how we get. And the 26th, the officer being like, guys, I know you want to. For the love of God, please don't. Let's just wait. Oh, and
they had their perfect I wish a motherfucker would moment. And they weren't allowed to do anything.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I think, maybe you could have done something where you throw something at them and try to knock them unconscious. But yeah, you would think 25, 26, but they probably ultimately they did the right thing. And then also I might add, I think the 160th possibly in the entire military has the best nickname for their unit. Do you guys know what it is?
No.
Mm-mm.
The Night Stalkers.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
pretty good.
Because they perform a lot of their operations at night and they fly very low and that's just awesome. It's like,
imagine coming to off your drug haze the next day, which I'm just blindly assuming this Gino fellow's on drugs, and him being like, what did I do? I attacked who? The fucking Night Stalkers. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Buddies, I don't have to have that. I had that experience where you, and it's not great when you wake up from doing something that you didn't. I would say everybody that's had a DUI has that experience where you like wake up and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Well,
where
that,
and
there's
I'm
that
at.
One beautiful moment where you're waking up and you're like, do just got a bit of a headache. Hey, oh my God. In 23, okay, so I banged who last night?
It's so terrible just in general waking up after you drank in a different spot, even if it's like a hotel or you go out to like a military ball or Marine Corps ball or something like that, and you wake up and you're in a hotel and you don't remember that you went to a hotel for the first like 20 seconds and you have to figure out where the fuck you're at. Like, where am I right now?
Not great. That's bad news there.
I woke up in West Virginia once, lest we forget.
That's true.
After taking a multiple hour car ride in the back of a truck.
In the back of a truck. Took a little snoozer. Woke up in another state.
That's a heavy sleep. That's a heavy drunk sleep. If you sleep in the back of that, my goodness.
Those are mountain roads.
Not great. Probably a little chilly too.
Very. Yeah, it was fall.
All right, let's move on to round number two. This one has to deal with the one-star general. It comes to us from Haley Britsky with Task and Purpose, who did a lot of reporting on this.
Yes, but wait. First of all, fellas, I have a list of the five most volatile stars.
Okay.
That I think you'll find interesting. Number five is VFTS 682. It's, as we all know, it's a Wolf Rayet star in the Tarantula Nebula. 226 times the size of our sun, an estimated 52,000 degrees. That's pretty volatile star. Number four, IK Pegasi, potentially the most dangerous because if it became a supernova, it would destroy half our ozone layer. Okay. Pretty volatile. Number three, model Naomi Campbell assaulted her personal assistant with a mobile phone in 98.
And that's back when mobile phones carried a little bit more weight. They were a little thicker.
Oh yeah. Durable. That, I mean, 98, that's even before the Nokia with snake on it came out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was a heavy, heavy.
That was the Zach Morris phone.
Yes, it was. Number two, throwing stars for obvious reasons. It's literally a star meant to kill.
I've never gotten a throwing star to stick in anything.
Not yet. Your life's not done.
That's a good point, Kate. Way to gas me up.
Don't forget. Handsome. Good.
Thank you.
Throwing stars in your future. And number one, the most volatile star of them all, one-star general, Brigadier General Amy Johnston. Okay. Brigadier General Amy Johnston was about 2 years into her tenure as the Army's Chief of Public Affairs when she drafted a memo for her boss, the Secretary of the Army. That spring, she informed him that every single soldier who worked for her and almost every single civilian believed that her office was a hostile workplace.
That's something you got to send in an email. You can't tell somebody that in person. You got to just slip that in, put it like a three-page email, and that's paragraph like nine.
Yeah. It's like, by the way, I should mention.
Yeah. I put it in there.
It's in there. Yeah.
What? This font? What do you mean the font's small on that one? It was a 2-point font. But the memo Johnston delivered to the Army Secretary told a far different version of her leadership style. The work environment was revealed to be overwhelmingly hostile and produced devastatingly low morale, according to a command climate survey conducted between March 18th and April 30th. Now, have you guys, when you were in, did you have to take a command climate survey ever?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Same here. I always was too afraid to be fully honest on it. I was like, I know they're going to figure out who turned in what one. And so I always just,
that was the biggest lesson I learned early in my Marine Corps career, was to shut your fucking mouth on those things. Like, you don't write anything on those, because I tried to be a little smart ass when I was a PFC. I think I've told this story before, where I said that our combat instructor, if he was an expert at combat, it was like saying the assistant manager at McDonald's is a master chef. And I wrote that, and then the first sergeant came and pulled me out of the chow hall.
That's pretty funny.
Ripped my ass.
Yeah,
there's a good line of
that. That's a good line.
These surveys are supposed to be anonymous, but I feel like we all have stories where it came back to bite somebody in the ass. So you're,
and we didn't have to put our name on it, and I chose to.
Wow, you were really feeling yourself.
Well, that was okay.
You thought everyone was going to read that and have a grand old laugh.
I thought they were going to be like, this guy, because I use a bunch of big words. They're like, oh, we need to send this dude to OCS, and they're like, and it was closer to, we need to send this dude home.
Yeah.
And I was still in that area. Like, I was still in that time period where they could have, for like failure to adjust. And realistically, they might should have, because I was a fucking, like, that was so egregious to say to somebody who had been to combat twice. Like,
that's even worse.
Yeah. I was a piece of shit, no doubt.
I can't believe you didn't get your ass beat.
I mean, I had to stand in the position of parade rest for hours. Hours. And then it finally came down, they weren't gonna, I think they did it just to scare the shit out of me. They're like, you're losing your MOS, you're gonna go back to open contract, because I was still at MCT. They're like, you're using your MOS, we're gonna send you to a shitty school, you're gonna hate every moment of your 5 years of the Marine Corps. I was like, oh my god, what have I done? Then I was just like, no, you're not, because in my head I was still decently smart, like, to get around stuff. I was like, I'll just go do cocaine once and then go request a drug test.
Brilliant. Really. Yeah. Well, it's definitely not a good climate over there with Johnston, where she created a culture of fear And there was more than one occasion when people in the office were in the hallways in tears or crying in the bathroom. The survey
there's found no that- crying in PAO.
Yeah, the survey found that in pee or poo in the bathroom. You know what I mean? The survey found that 100% of soldiers in the office thought it was a hostile work environment, an overwhelming response that's practically unheard of. And they interview soldiers who were like, I was in units where people would volunteer to deploy to get away from their commander, but it was never like 100% of people saying it's bad. The survey results are even more significant considering this particular survey was mostly higher ranks filling it out. So these people have all been in the military long enough to have had other toxic leaders, to have other bad stuff happening. And they were all like, nope, hands down, this is the absolute worst. Seven Army
sources. I'm sorry. That's probably why you got 100% was because these people were not willing to just compromise themselves. They just thought, you know what? I don't care. I'm a major. I'm an 05, whatever. I'm going to be honest on this thing and let everybody know that this general is a POS.
Because well, usually you're so you imagine most brigadier generals feel like you're untouchable by your troops because you're a general.
Right. And what's also telling is how many troops agreed to speak with Task and Purpose about it. They're like, I have a couple stories. I have a couple things I could tell you about her. Fuck this lady. So seven.
And not just troops. These are like staff members. I think troops usually carries like the and like the connotation that it's young, like and it's junior. These are like staff members, like 04s, 05s.
Seven Army sources who spoke with Task and Purpose described experiencing or witnessing verbal abuse from Johnston, who regularly screamed at subordinates. She gave guidance that wasn't just confusing, but inconsistent and constantly in flux, which placed them in an untenable position. Some of them were saying they would literally write down verbatim what she said to protect themselves and cover their asses because she'd come at them the next day, tell them something totally different, and then they'd be like, well, actually, okay, I don't know what's going
apparently.
On. Apparently. As Stars and Stripes reported on September 24th, there were Inspector General complaints filed against Johnston that mirrored issues.
Inspector General.
But a commander getting the pulse of their staff with a climate survey isn't anything particularly unusual. It's a tool for commanders to find out what's working for their unit, what isn't. And, you know, we like we said, we've all filled them out. But in addition, on this particular one, only 8% of people reported high morale. 73% of respondents experienced high stress. Only 14% said they're being treated fairly. And only 2% of uniformed service members reported fair treatment. Johnston said in her memo to the Secretary of the Army that while the assessment was not specifically about me, many of the write-in comments were directed towards my leadership style and mannerisms.
What were some of those comments, ma'am? This one here says that I'm a quote fucking bitch.
How is that not about you? How could you be an intelligent person and write that line? It's not about me. It's about my leadership style. What?
Yeah.
Because if you're acting like this, I think if you are the type of person who takes this kind of leadership approach, you're so insecure about who you are as a leader that you wouldn't think that they were talking about you. Like that you're right. Like, I'm so smart and so much more capable than him. It can't all be about me. This is about them too.
Yeah. Mm. So she would belittle subordinates, give unclear guidance, was never satisfied. Meetings would occasionally end with her screaming to the point of hysteria. Another officer said Johnston gave such conflicting information. Yeah, this is what I said, where they were writing stuff down. Just to be like, I know she said it. I wrote it down. I'm not crazy. So she's like gaslighting them too, sort of. There was a consistent problem with inconsistency. I almost equated it to a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of thing. This other person said, I've been to fucking war, okay? I have been through way worse than this, but this woman constantly beat me down. She essentially made me feel like I'm worthless. So people were saying war is
and that one, it says that person said it through tears, which is terrible.
It really is just
they didn't really say that. Kate's looking on the sheet. Did it say that?
I'm like,
I don't know if any of you have ever been in this situation, but I had a manager one time where there was a knot in my stomach every time I had to go to the office on Mondays, or basically every day, because I just knew it was the same type of thing. I'd get guidance on something.
This military?
No, civilian.
Oh, it's like, did you just refer to a superior as a fucking manager? Like, goddamn. Yeah.
No, this is when I left after the army. And but the worst part was she would always tell me, like, you know, things were wrong and give me conflicting guidance. And then inevitably, every time I'd walk by her desk and like kind of look at her computer, just glance on it, she'd be online shopping. And I just wanted to just hurl her computer out the window in the worst way. And luckily, I got removed from that project, so it didn't have to continue much longer. But that is a very bad feeling when you cannot go to work every day without the fear of being yelled at.
Any of those good enough for me, not for thee, is a difficult like prospect to be under somebody that does that shit, where you they take advantage of you and they take advantage of their position. That shit sucks.
You know, I just had a quick daydream. Remember in the movie Clueless, when they have this teacher who's giving them a ton of homework and being hard on them, and they're like, oh, this sucks. We should set him up with somebody. And they end up setting him up with this other teacher. And then he's so preoccupied with love that whatever. They should set her up with Lieutenant Colonel Jessup. I feel like the two of them would be hot and heavy in cahoots together. Perfect match.
Yeah, and Colonel Jessup likes it because he's like, my problem is a colonel, so I guess I'll have to go on and take cold showers, because he says that there's nothing like a blowjob from a superior officer. That's a line from the movie. That's what he says. Yep. That's what he says, Kate. He says it.
He did.
It just struck me, Danny. She outranks you.
If you want to blame someone and be upset, Kate, call up Aaron Sorkin.
No, you're going to blame yourself, because you brought this up that she needs to. I believe the quote was, we'll play it back. I believe Kate said that she needed to get dick down. So no, she was in a better mood.
Oh my God, you can't say. No. And for all, whatever.
Or flap down.
Yes. We don't want to assume. Right.
Let's move on to round number three, which is going to be a little Facebook goofing. Cons watched, like a true officer, watched 60 Minutes last night. Cons, tell us a little about it.
Yeah, I was catching 60 Minutes after the end of the old Packers game. So thank you, Packers, covering that -6 that I had.
Your tweet was funny about that. Like, I'm ready for this Packers game to end so they don't cut into 60 Minutes. I'm getting tired
seriously,
of this.
Yeah, seriously. I'm excited about 60 Minutes' stories tonight. But anyway, no. If as we record right now on Monday, Facebook is down, Instagram is down. Well, on 60 Minutes last night, a Facebook whistleblower accused the company of repeatedly prioritizing profit over clamping down on hate speech and misinformation, and said her lawyers have filed at least 8 complaints with the US SEC. Frances Hagen, who worked as a product manager on the civic misinformation team at Facebook, didn't know that was a thing, appeared on 60 Minutes revealing her identity as the whistleblower who provided all these documents to the Wall Street Journal, who conducted an investigation, and ahead of a Senate hearing on Instagram's harm to teenage girls, which is a very real thing. Facebook has been under fire after the Journal published a series of stories based on Facebook internal presentations and emails that showed the social media company contributed to increased polarization online when it made changes to its content algorithm, failed to take steps to reduce vaccine hesitancy, and was aware that Instagram harmed the mental health of teenage girls. I can't imagine being a teenage girl these days, not just with Instagram, Facebook, but with everything. Really, really challenging. Anyway, she's going to testify tomorrow, Tuesday, before the Senate subcommittee in a hearing titled Protecting Kids Online about the company's research into Instagram's effect on young users. Quote, there were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook, she said during the interview. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money. She previously worked at Google and Pinterest and said Facebook has lied to the public about the progress it made to clamp down on hate speech and misinformation on its platform. I've seen a bunch of other social networks, and it was substantially worse at Facebook than anything I've ever seen before. At some point in 2021, I realized I'm going to have to do this in a systemic way, that I'm going to have to get out enough documents that no one can question that this is real. So she did like collection, like 10,000 documents. She said it was a lot of work on her end, but she said the company recognizes that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site, they'll click on less ads, and they'll make less money.
And that's essentially the crux of the entire thing, like where they have that, because they go on and there's other research projects that are out there that talk about specifically like specific issues for young teenage girls who are looking at Instagram and they're struggling with their body image. And if they put like a hashtag like anorexia, or if they even talk about it in there, that all of a sudden that algorithm triggers in, and then they start seeing more people that have that, more and more, and it becomes more normalized to them. And you see it like with depression and mental health of all different sorts, where if you start posting about that, that's what you're going to get. And you could see that just as you use it. Like if you use it and you search for anything, the next thing you know on Instagram, you're going to have an ad that matches your Google search of what you just did. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. And they found that even through like COVID and all the different crises that we've had, that flagging it that it is inaccurate material puts it at the forefront of their algorithm as opposed to the back end of their algorithm. Like, they are throttling down people who are putting out good information and throttling up people who are putting out bad information.
Right, right. And it's just, when you consider how many people are on Facebook and how much of the military is on Facebook and how, unfortunately,
there's units that get all of their info from Facebook. Like,
yes,
Facebook,
they have Facebook
pages
for their unit, and they put out information. I mean, I'm part of organizations that's how they disseminate information. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, it is a helpful way to disseminate information. But when you're talking about utilizing Facebook as your news or misinformation, but when you utilize it as your news source, it's very easy to get a whole bunch of information that is inaccurate. And that's where you run into a lot of troubles, as you know, she pointed out. And you know, one quote that I particularly struck me, it said, "We have evidence from a variety of sources that hate speech, divisive political speech, and misinformation on Facebook and the family of apps are affecting societies around the world."
You think?
No, yeah. Shit. Yeah,
no shit. Yeah, dude.
And that, exactly. Facebook was a huge part in organizing the Capitol riot and, you know, all that stuff. So,
and not just that, there has been good things that came from Facebook and WhatsApp too. Like, I think that we have to have that, like the Arab Spring, a lot of them, like coming out of oppression and things like that. Those organizations, like in Egypt, whenever they had their wide scale demonstrations against their government, those types of things are also organized on Facebook and WhatsApp. So it's not all bad. But it just seems like the last 6 or 7 years, a majority of it is bad.
And this kind of makes me think of, stick with me on this, but Zero Block 30, we really try to, I guess you would call it, police the comments and stuff like that. And we try to remove, whenever I see like what I would consider hate speech or something sexist or racist or whatever, I delete it and I restrict the person so that they can just scream into the void or whatever. But it's like Facebook wasn't I feel like you do have a responsibility if you're running a site, if you're running a page, if you're running whatever part of it. I mean, even Barstool, you know, the comment section used to be like the wild, but they got better and better and better and better and better at making sure it wasn't as odd as it used to be or whatever. And like, I think they have a responsibility.
But also the reason
it better.
Yes. And the reason the SEC is involved is because Facebook is a publicly traded company. So they have a responsibility to their shareholders to tell them the truth and to tell them what is going on with the company. And then a lot of these allegations are they're telling the public one thing, Zuckerberg's going before Congress and saying one thing, when in actuality, based on what this whistleblower is saying, is the opposite is true.
And I think that there is sites that it's different, right? Like, if I will never go to ESPN and read the comments on ESPN or Yahoo or fucking BuzzFeed or something like that. You don't read the comments there. And I kind of group Barstool in with that now. I know most people don't, but I do. Like, it's that big of a media company at this point. Having people in the comment section who are crazy doesn't really mean a whole lot. Yeah. But for an organization like Facebook or Instagram, that those things exist solely for the people to comment on it and to have interaction and a social interaction. So in that sense, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say, ahead of the 60 Minutes interview, Facebook Vice President of Global Affairs, Nick Clegg, said on CNN, it was, quote, ludicrous to assert that January 6th occurred because of social media. I'm sorry to tell you, Nick, we're not that dumb. There's no way you could mass that amount of people in such a short amount of time without social media. Get a clue.
Yeah, I would dumb. I would agree that it didn't happen because of social media.
No,
I would say that social media was the medium in which that it could happen, right?
Like, so
that,
social media helped it
all. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was definitely like an amplifier of getting the most crazies that you possibly can with relative ease,
right?
Like that part of it, it's just nuts to say that they don't do, but they have to. I mean, what are they going to say? Oh yeah, we fucked up, man. We are screwing up the world and we're going to shut this thing down. They're too ingrained into everything. You couldn't shut Facebook down now if you tried. Like, I think it's just too ingrained in everybody to not use it or use something. Even Facebook, but Instagram we do.
Instagram we do, right? I don't use Facebook anymore. I lurk on it now to see pictures of my cousin's kids and stuff and like keep up with family, but I stopped using it a couple years ago. But I do think that's because now it is for the olds, really. Like as soon as my aunts started taking it over, God bless them all, I was kind of like, all right, I'm moving on to Twitter or I'm moving on to where else, you know? So yeah,
it is interesting to see all the folks our age though, because we were around in college when it first came out. So to see the people that have stuck with it and still utilize it as their main form of social media, I kind of get that. But yeah, Facebook obviously just really took a turn. Once they went from strictly .edu email addresses and anybody could get on, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number four with a little Fat Leonard goofing. Okay, what's going on with that?
Yeah, this is just a super quick round. Over the past decade, coverage of the Navy's so-called Fat Leonard scandal has unveiled scores of West Pacific naval officers who were once supplied with booze, sex, hotels, and even suckling pigs. In exchange, Fat Leonard, aka Glenn Francis's port service company, Glenn Defense Marine Asia, was gifted classified ship movement information and juicy port servicing contracts. Mm. So he was bribing them to get contracts for his company. He pleaded guilty to his role in the scheme back in 2015, but the portly Malaysian magnate has since kept quiet amid an interminable series of sentencing delays.
Is shocking that they came out and said portly. Good Lord.
I know. Maybe
that's what we usually add. My goodness, portly.
I know. Is it a play on words with ports?
Maybe. The next line, they mentioned that he was wearing size 20 Lee Husky jeans. So I
true.
Think
they do call him Husky in this. Yeah. Yes, indeed they do. But a 9-part podcast series aptly titled Husky Leonard, or Fat Leonard, is scheduled to drop on October 5th. I'm going to make a children's book called Husky Leonard. October 5th. Also, that sounds like a football player name.
Yes.
Husky Leonard. Anyway, according to a press release, he's going to be talking for the first time about the Torrid saga. Fat Leonard podcast will shed light on the Navy's cover up of the case, which has gone after more than 30 officers, but failed to prosecute admirals whom he claims took gifts and favors. So a bunch of
you
people.
You don't say.
You don't
the
say.
The high level people not high being grass. Held to account.
Yeah,
wow. That's weird.
Weird. Interesting. The explosive story will also feature scores of other voices, including prominent women who share the broader tale of misogyny and sexual abuse in the U.S. military. Ladies, shout it out. Hearing from Fat Leonard alone should make for compelling listening, but the release also promises to tell of Francis's role in covert missions against Al-Qaeda, including using his own warship Braveheart, Braveheart to support U.S. Marines with U.S. diplomatic cover. There's a hobby.
Yeah, right?
That's a hobby for you.
That took train dad to a whole new level.
My goodness. He'll also be sharing several of his favorite queso dip recipes. The podcast will be hosted by Tom Wright, a former Wall Street Journal reporter and Pulitzer Prize finalist. No free ads, but I will absolutely be listening to that.
No, I'm definitely going to check it out. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of juicy stories coming out of that one. So
yeah, old Fat Leonard.
We'll keep an eye on it.
And good. This is another one of those things. Maybe the Navy's not holding these people accountable, whatever. Maybe they'll be like, shit.
Well, and that kind of, we joke about like entertainment. That's the reason why Bill Cosby went down.
Yep. Hannibal Buress.
Mm-hmm. Started making jokes and that's where all of the different investigations stem from.
Right. Yep. Oh my gosh. I hadn't thought about that in a long time because it happened so long ago now, but yeah, you're right. That's a good
and,
point.
And Firefest too. A lot of those people got investigated.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's basically the plot of Murder Podcast on Hulu. Have you guys seen that with Steve Martin?
Oh, I just started watching that.
Yeah. I have been meaning to watch it. Is it good?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think it's because Steve Martin's just not a good actor. I've never been a Steve Martin guy. Whoa. I've never been a Steve Martin guy.
My good man. No,
I don't think I've ever seen him say he, as far as I can remember, I don't remember watching anything Steve Martin has ever said that has made me laugh.
Father of the Bride.
Have you never watched Father of the Bride 1 and 2?
Nothing.
Have you never watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I have. Never. Wow. He does. Other characters in those movies make me laugh. Steve Martin does not. And I think you know why? Because I've heard that he's such a dick.
I haven't heard that, but please don't say this sort of thing around Alex. You might get yourself disinvited from the wedding.
I heard.
And I'm on her side, though. And I'm on her side.
I know.
You know who I heard is an enormous dickhead who I was so shocked at? Chevy Chase. I heard he's
I've heard that. No, that's not shocking. He's
awake. No, yeah, that's Chevy Chase, not Steve Martin. I'm back in on Steve Martin.
Chevy Chase,
yeah.
Chevy Chase has been a dick since the SNL days. That's
why Steve Martin surprised me.
If you can play
the banjo, you can't be a dick if you play the banjo. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, understandable.
All right, let's move on. Let's do a little $1 trillion coin. What do we got there, Kate?
Boy, I haven't heard anything about $1 trillion coins since the war in Afghanistan. Am I right?
Yeah, coin operations.
Coin, niche. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyways, as we know, we're fast approaching the debt ceiling, my friends. Mm-hmm. Okay. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has firmly dug in on the GOP refusing to help renew the U.S.'s ability to pay off its bills, known as the debt ceiling, after weeks of saying Republicans wouldn't join Democrats in a vote to raise the ceiling. But like, why would they I get it.
How do they not say raise the roof? How do they not say
How do they not say raise the roof? You're right. But like, what would it accomplish continuing to raise the debt ceiling? Like, what does that accomplish? I know.
Okay, you could pay your debts, and they want to have this $3.5 trillion 10-year plan where they need to have higher debts in order for it to sign off. But
won't this keep spiraling?
Well, yeah, that's what's been happening since. I mean, really, the last time that we had a balanced budget was when the Clintons were, or when Bill Clinton was president, and then W took over, and that went to shit. And then now we're just adding more and more and more and more. It's crazy how much debt that we're adding, but it's at $27 trillion right now. That's fake. That's not real money.
We've said that before. It's just a made up number.
I was watching this documentary over the weekend, and it talked about, it was under Reagan's presidency that they stopped using real gold or whatever to back money, and then money became this they just started printing shit. And even when I was watching the documentary, I was like, I still don't get how this is money is real. Then I don't know, whatever.
Well, anyways, right, because there has to be, if you have money, in my estimation, there has to be a finite amount of money. Like, there can only be so much money, otherwise. Right. It's just arbitrary. Yes. Like right now, I mean, think about the amount of money that's in circulation comparatively to the 1880s. It's the same economy. It's just different. And you printed a shit ton more of it. Mm-hmm. Like there is no money is not real. Like it's just not, because there's not a finite amount. It's endless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand it.
If the top 100 people in Forbes walked into banks and they're like, give me all of my money.
Yeah. They couldn't get it.
If Bezos goes into any bank anywhere and he says, I have $180 billion. I want all of it in cash.
I want to Scrooge McDuck this thing.
So it's not real. It's not real.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But this debt conundrum could have a coin-sized solution. There's a loophole in the law that prescribes the types of coins that can legally be minted in the U.S., which theoretically allows the Treasury Department to mint a $1 trillion platinum coin. It's at the Federal Reserve, and then continue paying bills as normal. So you're saying we make one platinum $1 trillion coin, keep it at the Federal Reserve, and keep paying our bills like normal because we know that coin is in there. The debt ceiling places a fixed limit on the total amount of money the Treasury Department can borrow in order to fund government activities, and Congress has to vote to either raise or suspend that limit from time to time as the federal debt grows larger. And the Biden administration and Democrats are pressuring Republicans to back down, ruling out raising the debt limit on their own and reminding the GOP that, hey, you guys were racking up $8 trillion in debt under Trump, blah, blah, blah. So it's a lot of useless back and forth getting us nowhere, the huge. But basically, former President Barack Obama said in a 2017 interview with Crooked Media that senior officials had considered minting a coin to save off a potentially catastrophic default. You know,
I think this should have the soundbite. From Step Brothers is like, I thought you were joking. No, from Anchorman. I wrote it down in my diary. Barack Obama had a funny joke. He was going to print a $1 trillion coin.
Yeah. It's that to me is like a bunch of people sitting around with no real answer being like, ooh, passing the doink around. Like, what if we like? This is
the same exact way we ended up with the Space Force. Like, it was a goof and then it happened.
We thought it was a joke. And now they're retailing their pants because we all made fun of their pants.
Shout out to the Space Force for doing that, though, for going back and taking that. And not just going with it and be like, oh, they hate everything. Looking at the critiques and being like, oh, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to actually change it again.
Because here's the thing, Space Force. Listen, take your time. There's no.
They got to do the Men in Black uniform.
Just keep it simple. Do the Men in Black uniform, do a little pin on the lapel. Mm-hmm. Everyone will rave about that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Get yourselves a trillion dollar coin. Get yourself a nice, but that was an actual idea. I had a few thoughts on this. Okay. If they did do this, mm-hmm. and this is the only option, this is the only loophole that they're like, fuck it, let's do it. I love the idea of somebody accidentally putting the coin in their pocket. and they take their kid out for skee ball that afternoon, and they get done skee balling or whatever, and they're putting the coins in, and they get home, and they're like, oh my God.
Oh, maybe they should put Charles E. Cheese on there.
The $1 trillion coin, right.
Who are you putting on the $1 trillion coin, though, if you get to decide?
Let's not rush this. Let's not say anything.
No, I want to rush it. I think we got to decide right now, and then we'll come back again after we think about it, and we'll have it again on Friday.
Okay.
So off the top of your head, Kate, who are you putting on the $1 trillion coin?
Not brown nosing or anything, just off the top of my head, Dave Portnoy.
That was big time brown nosing cons. Mm.
Although not a real person, Uncle Sam.
Oh, that's a cool coin.
That one. I don't hate that one. I'm going to go with Jesus. So,
wow. Okay. Yes.
Even though not everyone recognizes him as our Lord and Savior, I think that.
Well, some people that say it's real, they're not real. So the $1 trillion coin.
That's a good interesting point there.
Hmm. Other thought, if you steal the $1 trillion coin would be in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve becomes a little bit of a target. You know what I mean? You got a $1 trillion coin there. But if you steal the $1 trillion coin, it's not like there's anything you could do with it.
No.
You know what I mean? Nobody's going to have change for it.
Yeah. I mean, imagine walking into Walmart trying to get some one bite pizzas and you hand them a $1 trillion coin. Can't do it.
Which, yeah, that's right. Those
what about
Walmart.
What about Ric Flair?
Oh.
He could be on there too.
I like the nature of
and profile.
It would be very American if that.
I mean, it would fit in, and you wouldn't even have to really explain it because he has the same kind of hair as Washington, anyways.
That's true.
What I'm saying. Yeah. I was going to say the $1 million man, but then that wouldn't work because he's the $1 million man, not trillion. Yeah.
Right.
Got to do a rebrand.
Who knows?
All right, let's move on to round number six. What's round number six?
Well, the smoking lamp is extinguished. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. The Royal Navy is now tobacco free. They put out the official Twitter of the Royal Navy said, where tobacco-free smoking and the use of all tobacco products is no longer permitted anywhere in the Royal Navy!
For our Royal Navy friends, I need you guys to DM us and let us know if there was like scuttlebutt, if there's rumors about this before it actually happened, or did this just come out? Like, were they like on the British ZBT? Were they talking about were they about to cancel smoking? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
I never saw anything about it.
No, I need to know. And what's the vibe now? Are people like, fuck this, blah, 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 like, whatever.
You know what's kind of interesting, though, is our brothers and sisters in arms over there in London and in the UK, they're a little more liberal with smoking anyway. So this is kind of surprising, right? Like, smoking in Europe is not.
Ripping sticks.
Oh, the French, forget it.
Yeah,
Japanese.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So this is kind of interesting that they're coming out and getting ahead of this and saying.
Well, here's some comments on it. Dark Laughter at Dark Laughter TDB said, get ready to earn your pay, Royal Marines, because you're about to put down a mutiny. Mostly Tory 86 said, pretty unnecessary. I don't smoke anymore, but people smoking in segregated areas ashore and the upper deck weren't hurting anyone. If you just left it 10 years, pretty much no one will smoke anyway. Alcohol next. So this person's saying people are going to quit on their own within the next 10 years. Paul Holland said, the mess decks will improve markedly. Back in my day, the mess squares were full of empty tinnies and fag butts.
That's okay. She can use that word.
I can use the word in this context. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who had clearly gotten out like 40 years ago who were like, well, I'm glad they can't smoke inside the submarines anymore. And it's like, no, we haven't done that.
That never made sense to me. I don't know how you could smoke in a submarine. Like when Gene Hackman was smoking in Crimson Tide, all those cigars, and I'm a cigar guy, you guys know. How does that work though? That just can't be.
They have good air purifier systems. It's like some of those restaurants where they put it in there where you're supposed to be able to smoke it, where they have incredibly expensive purifier systems. Also, has any country ever had as many problems with leaves as England? I mean, between this and tea, tobacco and tea, like they constantly having issues with leaves.
Big time issue. But these three comments. So in the 90s, they could smoke inside the ship. And this person said, wow, I remember smoking took place in the living spaces. It was a tough environment for a non-smoker. Somebody else said, when you had the three-tier bunks, 36 to a bunk room, and they all smoked in their bunks. Imagine you're a non-smoker. You're in a room with 36 bunks stacked three high and everyone's ripping heaters around you.
Your lungs will look like, yourself. You know, that video that is out there where they'll put like 20 cigarettes into a glass jar And in the bottom of the glass jar, it'll have cotton balls on the bottom, and then they'll smoke all 20 of them, or have like the suction that imitates smoking. And mm-hmm. then by the time it's gone, all of the cotton balls are just completely like goo and black and brown and shit like that. That's what your lungs have to be when you're done with a 6 month deployment out on the water in a submarine when people could smoke. Your body would just be wrecked.
You know, it's crazy. I was watching a movie this week, and it was set back in the 60s and 70s, and how prevalent smoking inside was back then. And I think we're also all old enough to remember being able to smoke inside bars. And you can remember going into a bar.
It's still great when you can.
Yeah, it's still great. But actually, Kate, I'm pretty sure when we were in Daytona that we went to a dive bar that had it. And Kate doesn't have her headphones on, so she has no idea that I'm talking about the Daytona bar. I think she's putting on a Sigs Inside hoodie. Anyway, mm-hmm. I just can't imagine living where everywhere you go, you have the possibility of being in a smoke-filled room. That just kind of is bothersome, I would think.
Well, it was always bizarre at like different airports in Japan. They had big time smoking rooms everywhere, and not just at airports, but in like malls and stuff. They would have rooms that were dedicated for smoking that people would go inside. And some of those Japanese cigarettes were heavy. They were basically like Marlboro Reds or Camel 100s, just unbelievable amounts of smoke. And it was crazy walking into
smoking indoors. The fuck, I forgot I'm wearing a sweatshirt today that says Sigs Indoors. Mm-hmm. I love smoking inside. Going to Nashville, it's one of my favorite things. I'll buy a pack of cigarettes and just smoke the whole thing inside a bar because I can. But Atlantic City, all the little old ladies still, I think they still can in Atlantic City. I remember I got a coat dry cleaned, and then I went to a casino there, and I was like, oh god damn it.
I haven't allowed it in some spots in Vegas in a long time, and you could still smell it in there.
Oh yeah, it'll never go away. But boy, is it a treat. Mm-hmm. Say that much.
They'll be big time mad. All right, that's it. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. And Nick, we'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. No save rounds this week. Just want to remind everyone to subscribe to YouTube, our YouTube mm-hmm. channel, if you can. We have a lot of stuff going on up there. Uploading segments from the podcast. The podcast itself goes up the same day that we drop the audio, so check it out there. And longtime toolies, I think Chaps can be working on a few of those. Not the throwing the 5 pound weight over, unfortunately, that mm-hmm. won't make it. But just remember to subscribe there. We're at 7.5K. I'd love to get it to 10K.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. We'll have PFT commenter show his eyes if we get to 10K, right? Okay.
Or I'll show my brown eye. How about that?
Oh, we'll get that.
With the 100K, I'll show my butthole.
Big reveal. Okay. Big reveal.
That might end up going the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We lose.
No,
we
put lose that out followers. There. I'll put my butthole on the internet for 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Kate?
Me? But guys, I had a spicy weekend. A little bit of...
You want me to go first? You want me to go first?
No, not really. Okay. It's nothing that crazy. The Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. And I had my comments about the pipe hitters and Eddie Gallagher and co, and my thoughts on it and how I saw it and some things that I had heard through the grapevine that led me to feel that way. So I just wanted to respond. My Instagram was a dumpster fire as it is from time to time. First, lots of trolls saying I was never in the military. I am divorced. I love smoking cigarettes and I have a child out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. So you tell me.
That's proof.
Pretty
proof
sure that's pudding. Proof. Mm-hmm. Also, people seem to think I was attacking Lieutenant Colonel Scheller and his service somehow. I actually feel very sad that he's in the brig because I feel like there's much greater issues at play. And 20 years at war has taken a toll on so many people. And I'm especially incredibly sad for his family and what they're going through. I too have a very strong desire and felt a lot of emotion with wanting accountability for what happened in Afghanistan, especially at the end. So there's things I feel like people are putting thoughts in my head or whatever. I don't know, putting thoughts that I didn't say out there, but that's fine. And then my only regret in posting at all about it is giving more fuel and attention to the Gallaghers and that whole crew because they know how to use it to their advantage. And I don't really mind the trolls because once when I was giving birth, Harry Styles' Twitter was mad at me mm-hmm. and they, as my taint was ripping, they were coming at me full force. That bro Twitter has nothing on Harry Styles' Twitter. I survived that. This is no big deal. But also totally separate note. This is kind of a weird transition. There has been a ton of stories. I feel like every time I'm scrolling on Twitter, I forget one of the bases had 3 suicides in the span of a few days. It's up 16% among active duty my God, don't be afraid to reach out and get help. Talk to your buddies, talk to your friends. Again, I know I'm a broken record, but since everything that happened in Afghanistan in the last few months, me and my old buddies have been talking more than we have in years. And it's been really helpful and it's so important. And I've had a few reaching out back and forth that like we needed to talk to each other. It was a really good thing. Please talk to your friends. And places like BetterHelp, just don't be afraid to seek help. It's never too late. So that's my only thoughts on that. Also, my baby's not sleeping. I came to work without my laptop today. Those are my safe rounds.
Number one, I forgot to mention the 160th, in addition to them having an awesome nickname, the Night Stalkers, one of their mottos is death waits in the dark. That's just amazing.
Yes.
Yesterday, October 3rd, was the anniversary of the Battle of Mogadishu. If you're so inclined, go all the way back. I think it's like episode like 10. We interviewed Master Sergeant Matt Eversman about that battle and his experiences being turned into a movie. It was still an interesting conversation. Lastly, check out so far. I think there's going to be multiple episodes, but the first episode of the new Jon Stewart show. And Kate, I noticed you're wearing your Daily Show hat today. The Jon Stewart show where he went in on the VA secretary about helping veterans who have been exposed to burn pitch, which is basically all of us in the last 20 years, it was a great episode. And I appreciate everything he's doing and
fucking
fighting.
Heartbreaking, dude.
Yeah.
It was a powerful episode though. I was in tears watching it. It's a must watch if you served in the military. And even if you didn't, it's a fucking must watch. That was, God bless Jon Stewart. I'll say that much.
Yeah, because I think a lot of celebrities like to say like, oh, you know, I help the troops and I support the troops. And he really just goes, not even just the extra mile, the extra 100 miles, you know, testifying before Congress, putting together these documentaries and this show to help people and actually make a difference. So I really appreciate everything he's doing. And it was just very... It was a little alarming when he was talking to the secretary of the VA and he asked him the question about, you know, what's the barometer that you'll acknowledge that these burn pits have a negative effect on people when this stuff time and time again has already been proven that it does. And the VA secretary kept dancing around the answer, but Stewart just kept at him. I was so impressed by that. And I appreciate that he didn't just allow the VA secretary to give the same fluff answer he gives to everybody and keep it moving. He just kept at it. So go check that out.
All right. And for me, I am going to make another promise to the listener. So far I've had running. What are some of my other ones? I'll never run. There's been a couple other ones too, but I'm going to add one to it. We'll never care.
Pay your taxes.
Yeah. We will never care if people come at us if we feel like we're in the right. And I think that that's exactly how Kate feels. And that's what this show is about. That's what being really a podcaster is about. That's what being a person
is about. I don't feel bad
about
it. I stand by what I said.
Yeah. Say what we're going to say, how we feel, and not give a fuck who it pisses off. If it pisses off people that are going to come after us and write clown avies or that we're pogues or whatever, we're not going to give a shit. We're going to say how we feel no matter what. We did that since episode one, and we're going to do it for the next 400 too. It's on the retreat.